The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Christ.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and went on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food has to do with the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, One sows, and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, who pours out on all who desire it the spirit of grace and of supplication, deliver us when we draw near to you from coldness of heart and wanderings of mind, that with steadfast thoughts and kindled affections we may worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you please be seated? If anyone needs to go put some money in the parking meter, I understand. I blame Cherry for the length of that gospel. Cherry, what were you thinking? I'll try to tone it down on the sermon. I do want to say before beginning to offer a sermon to you, just a comment on this gospel that we just heard. It's the story of the woman at the well. You've heard it before, a Samaritan woman at the well. Who talks to Jesus and discovers that he knows everything about her. And then they talk about water, and she wants the kind of water that once you have it, you'll never thirst again. They get into this conversation. She realizes who he is, tells the other people in the town, and they don't believe her until they have their own direct relationship with Jesus. This woman, is remembered in the Orthodox Church as Saint Fotini. Saint Fotini. And we are going to visit Saint Fotini's well this October when we go on our Holy Land pilgrimage. And I'm mentioning this to you because there are a lot of places we're going to visit on our Holy Land pilgrimage that you've heard of, that you know about, that involve people you've heard about all your life. It is a transformative experience when you go on pilgrimage and walk that land. So this is just a plug for that. It'll make the announcements that much shorter. Let me say, I love automated things. As a kid, I was first in line to get an ATM card. I wanted it. I kind of like automated telephone systems mostly. I even for a while liked Siri. I try so hard to like Siri, and I have not bought an Alexa. I don't really want Alexa, but I like those kind of things mostly, but I know that they come at a cost. And the cost is that they foreclose human possibilities. I want sometimes to see the eyes and to hear the breath of a real human being. And efficiency doesn't always lead in that direction. Technology is a big help, but it isn't always our friend. Sir Winston Churchill wrote, "We shape our buildings, thereafter they shape us. The walls that we build for structure and beauty and good technology can be barriers to people, whether they're physical, cultural, whether made of stone, wood, race, class, gender, age, suburb, marital status, anything else. Walls block the wind, the Spirit of God." When I've asked people before about how did all of the Coachella Valley turn into walled communities, I've heard a lot of theories. No one wants to say that it's to keep the riffraff out. So they'll tell you stories like, well, it keeps out the wild animals. Back in the day, we had a lot of wild animals. You know, that was back when I remember there was just one traffic light. But there's no doubt that the walls also help block the wind. Good thing when you're a homeowner. If we're talking about the wind, the Spirit of God, bad thing. Last week's reading from Romans spoke of the law that binds. Paul wrote, "If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For law brings wrath, and where there is no law, neither is there violation." Robert Frost wrote in Mending Wall, "Good fences make good neighbors." But then he asks, why do they make good neighbors? Before I built a wall, I'd like to know what I'm walling in or walling out. And to whom I was giving was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. Now, in case any of you think that I am mostly concerned here with that wall, you know the one, let me tell you that I'm not. Our spiritual work this Lent is to work on our own walls and not fret about the walls of others. We will change the world when we change ourselves first. So no, I have no interest in talking to you about that wall. I want to talk about the walls that we erect ourselves. Walls that keep out the Spirit of God. Walls that separate us from each other. Such a wall existed between Samaritans and Jews in Jesus' day. Like asking for a drink from a coloreds-only water fountain in the 1960s, Samaritans and Jews had hated one another for more than 700 years. Samaritans also expected a Messiah, but one of a different kind, someone who would explain things and make sense of things to them. And they worshiped at a different place, at Mount Gerizim. In today's gospel, Jesus is led by the Spirit, by that mighty wind, into the wilderness once again for a critical encounter. Most Jews traveling the way Jesus was going would have taken an extra 9 hours to walk around Samaria, which was considered unclean, enemy territory. But what Jesus did was like wearing a White Sox shirt to Wrigleyville. Some of you know what I mean. Last week, Jesus met Nicodemus in the dark of night, a man with a name, a fellow Jew, a person of stature with everything to lose. This time, it's a woman with no name at all, a Samaritan. A woman married 5 times, now living with a man who isn't her husband. And we don't know why. But she would not dare draw water in the early morning with the rest of the women. And so she meets Jesus at high noon. Patricia Ferris writes that there are no shadows, there is no protective cover, no nighttime leisure for theological exchange and reflection. There is only this woman, and she is insolent, defensive, strong, and determined. What transpires between these two is nothing short of miraculous. These strangers, these enemies, whose worlds would ordinarily never connect, discover at the well that they need each other. For the sake of healing, Jesus follows the lead of the Holy Spirit and makes himself vulnerable. He is tired and alone in the heat of the noonday sun with no water. It is not a metaphorical desert. Left alone here at high noon, he could die without water. But someone has joined him at the well, the other, the stranger, the enemy. And she holds the cup that can quench his thirst. In the high desert, in the high noon desert, with all distraction stripped away, all shadows erased, the light shines bright enough for these two strangers to discover that they need each other. As they were transfigured in the light of the noonday sun, each enemy sees the face of a new friend. Last week in the gospel reading, we read that the wind, the Spirit of God, blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Supper clubs to eat with Samaritans from our own parish and beyond. Spending time with the sick or the poor or the elderly. Reading to children in the lower valley is part of the Read With Me program. Volunteering for neighbors downstairs. And meeting 200 or more people who just need that cup to drink. Building bridges to people of multiple faiths, people we fear. Compassion and justice ministries throughout the valley. Coffee hour. The hope that St. Margaret's will not know an idea, but a spirit. Not a bag of tricks, but living water. True worship takes place. Not at a sacred mountain or even in a shared ancestral well, but in a relationship with the person of Christ, who is the wellspring and mountaintop of hope and peace. So please, if today's gospel tells us anything, it's that you not take my word for it. St. Thomas wasn't faithless because he demanded his own experience of the living Lord to touch the wounds. He wasn't willing to settle for anything less. It wasn't until Jesus breathed the Spirit on him that he believed. So don't take my word for it. The Samaritans didn't believe the woman at the well because she said so. They spent time with Jesus himself. They came to him and asked him to stay with them. Only then could they say, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." In this Lenten season, ask Jesus to stay with you for a couple of days. This year, let's imagine where the mighty wind might blow for St. Margaret's. Julian Gordy writes, "In God's reign, everyone is invited to worship together in spirit and truth, both the chosen and the rejected people, both male and female, both good and bad. Surely the intimacy associated with eating and drinking is one reason why, on the night in which he was betrayed, as his parting gift and command to us, Jesus left us a meal to share with each other, with everyone, to break bread together, a cup to share together, eating the same bread, drinking from the same cup, is a powerful statement that nothing separates us from the love of God. We are all equal before God, all equally needy, and all equally accepted. This is the table not of the church, but of Jesus Christ, and you know the rest." When Jesus asked this woman for a drink of water, he was breaking with a tradition of separation, When the Samaritans heard the woman's testimony and believed in Jesus as the Messiah, they were breaking the same tradition. It is a tradition of separation that you and I are called to keep on breaking. That's why our altar is open to whoever comes. If Jesus would drink and eat with anyone, we will too. The Samaritan woman ran to town and invited others to come and meet the Lord, and that's what we are called to do as a hospitable people. Called like this woman to invite those we know who need a refreshing drink of living water, people who need to experience love and acceptance and help. Do you know such people who are not here? Do you think they will come here without your invitation? Called to bring them to Christ's church and to introduce them to Jesus. Called to pass around the jug of living water. Called to eat and drink together the bread and wine that are the very presence of Jesus. So let us pray the words of the hymn. The cup of water given for thee still holds the freshness of thy grace. Yet long these multitudes to see the sweet compassion of thy face. O Master from the mountainside, make haste to heal these hearts of pain. Among these restless throngs abide, O tread the city's streets again. Till sons of men shall learn thy love and follow where thy feet have trod, till glorious from thy heaven above shall come the city of our God. Amen.